that they are. In Isaiah 55, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be tempting to put God in a box that we can easily understand. And usually that means to treat God as though he were like one of us. Like, I know he said that he would forgive unconditionally, but he doesn't really mean that. He must have a limit. In the same way as we maybe might help someone out 3, 4, 5 times, but when it comes to the 7th or 8th, we're starting to reach our limit. And we can read that passage in the same way, that his thoughts are so beyond ours that we could never even imagine to have any kind of relationship. But when we understand the nature and the character of Jesus that we see throughout the gospel, the fact that his thoughts are not like my imperfect thoughts, that's a really good thing. My thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than yours. I think that's a relief for us all. So he doesn't operate according to human culture. If he did, I don't think Jesus would have even come, let alone offering a close and personal relationship with us. So like my complete inability to relate to Lewis Hamilton on driving terms, so much greater should the chasm be between me and the great creator, the king of it all. But instead, he is the God that calls us close, who stands us in him and shares all the riches that were due to him. This is confirmed in Psalm 148, where we are called the people close to his heart, or as the Message translation puts it, we are intimate friends of God. He is the Father who doesn't expect repayment. He does because he loves. Let's not allow ourselves to treat his thoughts as though they are ours. So we can learn about the nature and character of Christ, but the next thing I wanted to look at is our standing in him. As believers of Christ, what does our standing in him look like, and what does it mean for our relationship with him? Romans 5, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." So, I think our standing in Christ can be understood a bit like this. Once we've given ourselves to Jesus, our position in creation is no longer in question. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So it's not a case of wondering how we fit in. Instead, we are told we stand in him, and we stand in the grace that was fought for us. We don't stand by him, we stand in him. And I think God wants to tell us and remind us that our feelings don't dictate this standing in Christ. Our standing is perfect, even if our state and our human condition may not be. I used to think that once I give my life to Jesus, my life should be pretty straightforward. I mean straightforward in the sense that I have a faith and it just keeps growing. Simple. But actually, things come along in life and they surprise us. They maybe beat us up. They can demoralize us. And suddenly we find that our journey of faith isn't necessarily a straight line, but that actually that line's a bit wiggly, and that journey looks different for each and every one of us. That no two journeys of faith look the same. And of course, Jesus knows that. And he demonstrates time and time again to his disciples that he doesn't promise that life will be easy, but he promises to stay with us, to stay close to us, or to put it differently, to stand ourselves in him. So we stand in him, but what do we do when we don't feel like standing? I think that's where reminding ourselves the person and the nature of Jesus can help. because when we stick close to him, we start to realize what he's really like. To try and explain this, I love to give things to our two little kids, George and Hattie. I get so much joy from seeing them enjoy something I've given them. Maybe it's a cheeky chocolate coin when we're out watching trains or something. And obviously, they haven't had to dig into their piggy banks to pay for the chocolate coin. What kind of father would I be if I asked them to do that? Yet, I'm a very imperfect human. Or to put it another way, think about how we would feel if we found the most amazing Christmas present for a friend for Christmas. We'd found this awesome gift way back in May, June, and we've been waiting all the rest of the year to give it to them. And the joy it brings us when they finally open it, that smile on their face in front of us at Christmas, brings us so much happiness without any expectation of reward or payment, just because. So in the same way as I wouldn't dream of my kids somehow trying to earn this chocolate coin, or our friends offering to pay for the gift, how much more does God want us to understand that he gives because he loves? Try to imagine that joy that Jesus has when we gladly receive from him the fact that we are called to stand in him. The head of the body, the chief of the church, he is glad for us. I found an example of what can happen if we fail to recognize that joy that Jesus gets from relationship with us. So have a listen to this example of spiritual anguish, which is the result of setting aside the importance of our standing in Christ. One year before his death in 1769, George Whitefield, the renowned 18th century evangelist, wrote concerning an earlier time of difficulty in his life. "I began to fast twice a week for 36 hours together, pray many times a day, and receive the sacrament every Lord's Day. I fasted myself almost to death all the 40 days of Lent, during which I made it a point of duty never to go less than 3 times a day to public worship, besides 7 times a day to my private prayers. Yet I knew no more that I was to be born a new creature in Christ Jesus than if I had never been born at all." Now, I'm not saying that fasting is wrong or that we shouldn't give our everything to becoming more obedient to our faith in him. We should want that. And these are good things to be pursued. But I think sometimes where we can fall over is where we think we need to earn this approval, to earn the grace of God. Only through him are we saved. And our best efforts, as much as we like to think otherwise sometimes, are infinitely less adequate than the Creator having done it for us. So we cannot earn what God's grace has already bought for us on the cross. Our standing in him is a given. Our state might be more delicate, but to put it another way, you can't undo the work of the cross. In Romans 8, it says, "For I am convinced that no one can separate us from the love of God." And we're told in Matthew 28, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The Spirit is with us no matter what our state or condition. Sometimes we may feel that we're not good enough for him, but this would somehow mean that we could miraculously break this promise. When we stick close to him, we start to get a glimpse of what he's really like. His nature as the King of the universe, yet a God that deeply, deeply cares about us. That is the nature of Jesus. So he helps us to stand, but it also takes confidence to stand in him, especially when we think about standing against injustice and to speak his goodness into difficult and complex situations. I was really challenged by Heather's talk a few weeks ago at the family service when she asked the question, "When was the last time you were an ambassador?" And it really got me thinking. I'm still thinking about it. And yeah, it's been a real challenge. And I think, why is that? Is it confidence? Is it lack of faith? What is it? Why haven't I been more active as an ambassador? Maybe we feel in a strange place coming out of the pandemic. And I think it's okay to feel a bit odd in these strange times. But what's important for us is to continually bring it to the one who has stood us in him. And how can we stand when there's stuff keeping us down? When we don't feel like we have the fullness of God, he who does have the fullness of God pulls us up. It's an exception to the old story. It's easier to pull someone down than drag them up. In the second passage that we're looking at, which is in Colossians 2, 9 to 15, we read, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness." And later, "When you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." In Christ, the fullness of the deity lives in human form. The deity here meaning like the created one, if you like. Or in other words, in Jesus, we did not get the B team. We got his only son, in whom the fullness of the deity lives in human form. He is the head over every power and authority. And because the fullness of God lives in him, and we stand in Jesus, that means we too can receive this fullness. I hope you find that encouraging, as I did. As Graham said a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Romans 6, because he died, so do we to our old lives. And because he lives, so do we. And we don't just live to exist, but we are given a life of purpose, meaning, and hope, essentially how we were designed to live. So, I appreciate I've said quite a lot, but to summarize and to try and bring all this together, there's a lot of noise in this world at the moment, and there's a lot of brokenness. In some cases, confusion, anger, isolation. I think we're all used to that. But what I really feel like God is just calling us is to just refocus on him. By looking to Jesus and standing in the grace that was won for us, we can have confidence that despite our situation, our mood, we stand in him. You stand in him. You stand in him because he tells you and because he tells us. Not because we deserve it, but because he loves. So to bring us to a close, we stand in a perfect Christ, the one who has the fullness of God and the fullness of creation in him. And we stand in Jesus, whose character is to love because he loves. We may not be perfect, but we stand in the perfect one who promises to be with us by his Spirit. I just want to encourage you that the second you gave your life to follow him, you do stand in Christ, and that can't be weakened, confused, or broken, no matter what our situation. You stand in him, and he cares for you passionately. Amen.